Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee is expected to tell Cabinet tomorrow that she intends to add Egypt, India and Brazil to the state's list of safe countries. The move comes as the topic of immigration has moved up the agenda as a concern for the public in opinion polls. Joining me now to discuss this move are Dr. Ciara Smith, lecturer in the School of Law at the University of Galway and the programme director of the LLM in International Migration and Refugee Law at the Irish Centre for Human Rights, and Jim O'Callaghan, who's Fianna Fáil spokesperson for Justice and TD for Dublin Bay South. You're both very welcome to the programme. I think there might be a total, Dr. Ciara Smith, of five countries to be added to the list tomorrow. But you might remind people, first of all, what it means for a country to be added to the list of safe countries.
Sure. Well, maybe if I can just start by talking about what happens in the case of a normal application. Mm-hmm. So normally when somebody applies for international protection, there's what we call a shared burden of proof. I mean, in principle, the burden of proof in any legal claim is placed on the person who's asserting the claim. But in asylum cases, it's actually a shared burden of proof because the applicant doesn't know what aspects of their personal story are relevant. They have had some legal information, but no legal representation as such. And they're speaking through an interpreter very often, one who may or may not be actually qualified for the task. So because of all those issues, we usually regard the burden of proof in asylum claims as a shared one between the applicant and the examiner. Indeed, in certain protection applications, it can actually be the burden of proof can be placed more on the examiner. For example, in the case of unaccompanied minors, or people suffering from PTSD, or applicants with intellectual disabilities, because these people, you know, are not in a position really to discharge the burden of proof. Now, what happens when a country is designated a safe country of origin is that rather than have this shared burden of proof between the applicant and the examiner, the burden of proof is squarely placed on the applicant. And not only that, they actually have to rebut a presumption that the country that they come from is a safe country. So this is a very onerous task and it's a very high standard that has to be met. And it also has to be regarded within the context of the consequences of designating a country or an applicant as coming from a safe country of origin.
Okay.
Because so, the consequences, yeah.
Okay, so what you're telling us really is that it's a much more difficult application. You have to rebut that presumption that if it were the case that Egypt, India and Brazil were placed on the safe list, that they are indeed safe countries. That's what the examiner would presume, first of all. What is your reaction to Egypt, India and Brazil being placed on that safe list then?
I'm a little bit flummoxed. We didn't find out until this afternoon which of the five countries they were actually talking about. And we only know three of them. So Egypt, India and Brazil would not be statistically significant countries, asylum countries, asylum producing countries from an Irish or even an EU point of view. So they don't surface on our top five countries of origin in Ireland in 2024, 2023 or really any other year. I just tried to look up some EU stats and I could only get stats on Egypt. And according to the EU stats, Ireland received 1% of asylum applicants from Egypt, and they didn't produce any statistics for India and Brazil. So I don't think that Egypt, India and Brazil are statistically significant countries.
Okay.
Therefore,
why
if the minister is hoping that this is...
In your opinion, before I bring in Jim O'Callaghan.
Well, I don't really know why it's being done other than perhaps in response to this Irish Times Ipsos poll that was produced last week showing immigration was topping the list of voters' concerns.
Stay with me, Dr. Ciara Smith. Jim O'Callaghan, is that the reason?
I don't think so, Cormac. As you know, under our law, under Section 72 of the International Protection Act, the Minister for Justice is entitled to designate countries as being safe countries of origin. To date, in Ireland, we've only designated 10 countries, which is considerably less than other EU countries. If you look at countries like Cyprus, Italy, Austria, Denmark, they all have designated 20 or more countries as safe countries of origin. The purpose of it is twofold. But one of the most important purposes of designating a country as safe is that it expedites the process, it speeds it up, and there's an obligation to ensure that a decision is made within 90 days. And obviously, Ciara talks about the burden of proof being on the applicant when a country is designated as a safe country. But like in every legal application or legal process I know, the burden of proof is on an applicant. And I think
she's outlined the process where you come from in the normal quote-unquote asylum application, there's a shared burden. And if you're coming from a safe country, the burden is very much on the applicant. And you have to rebut a presumption. So as Ciara has outlined, it's much more difficult. You say the purpose is twofold. One, it expedites the process. What's the other purpose? Could it be political here to send a message?
Well, the purpose as well, Cormac, is that we need to recognise the numbers of people coming in seeking international protection has increased significantly.
Not from
in
Egypt,
the past number of
or
years.
India or Brazil.
Well, I'm just going to give you the general overview. Like in 2022 and 2023, we've seen 12,500 people applying each year. Already this year, up to mid-June, we've seen approximately 10,000 applications coming in. So I and my Fianna Fáil colleagues have repeatedly stated for a considerable period of time that one of the tools government needs to avail of in order to try to reduce the numbers coming in is designating countries as safe countries.
This won't reduce. Now, I mean, Ciara is telling us that statistically, Egypt, India and Brazil are not significant. So
I can give you the statistics on them. First of all, the minister announced, or it's been announced, that the minister is going to designate five countries. Mm-hmm. We're told that three of them are going to be Egypt, India, Brazil. Last year, they constituted 283, 143 and 173 of the applicants respectively for international protection. So in total, the three of them last year were approximately 600 in terms of the applications.
That's very insignificant, is it not?
Well, I suppose you could say it's insignificant now, but one of the things you note from looking at the statistics in respect of international protection is that countries that start off low can, within a period of a year or 2 years, become significantly high. We saw it in respect of Georgia, we saw it in respect of Algeria. And if you look at Algeria as an example, last January, the government designated Algeria as a safe country of origin. And in 2023, 1,462 Algerians applied for international protection.
Okay.
So already this year in 2024, the number is, I'd say, less than 100 Algerians have applied for international protection. So it has an impact in deterring persons from applying,
Ciara,
particularly in circumstances where their claim isn't legitimate.
Is that a sound rationale?
Well, I mean, I think we have to separate out the question of deterrence, which is an immigration control related matter and often a political matter, and the issue of international protection. And the problem with safe countries of origin is that they're designated as safe based on kind of generalized considerations to do with the country. But when we process somebody's application for international protection, it's an individualized process. And designating countries on the basis of general, you know, country of origin information, the problem with that general country of origin information is that it very often reproduces the biases that already exist in society and doesn't tell us much information about marginalized groups, children, women, victims of sexual and gender-based violence, and so on. So you can have generalized country of origin information, but it won't be granular enough to tell you about the situation of specific people. And then somebody comes along from one of those marginalized groups and they find it very, very difficult to rebut this presumption of safety, which actually never applied to them in the first place.
So are you saying that if you take Brazil as an example, that Brazil could be a safe country for the vast majority of the population, but if you're from a certain marginalized group that is being chased or persecuted, that then you're in danger and then you need to seek asylum. Would you not be able to point to some sort of evidence to rebut that presumption then, Ciara, surely?
Well, yes, ideally you would be able to. But you see, if you're going to be processed really quickly within less than 12 weeks, you know, you probably won't get a chance to get legal advice. And in any event, you're not really entitled to legal representation at first instance in Ireland anyway. So you won't have the assistance of a lawyer, and you won't have, when it comes to an appeal, let's say you get a negative decision and you appeal it, you won't have any oral hearing. So it'll just be on the basis of the written file. So in theory, yes, you should be able to, you know, adduce evidence. But in reality, if somebody doesn't have legal assistance and advice, it's very difficult to rebut that presumption.
Isn't that very unfair, Jim? No oral hearing on appeal and maybe no legal advice either.
No, it's not unfair at all. And like, we need to be realistic about this, Cormac. When applications are made claiming international protection in respect of a country, let's say against Brazil, there'll be a body of decisions that have been built up by the International Protection Office in respect of Brazil. The minister, when she comes to designating Brazil or other countries as a safe country of origin, she just doesn't do it out of the blue. The department does an appraisal and an assessment of that country. So it's a much faster
general,
method.
Says Kira. It's too general to do it on
disagree.
A country basis.
I disagree.
How so? If you're from a marginalised group that gets very little say in international media, how could the Irish government in any real way have a granular knowledge of that marginalised group in Brazil that may be persecuted?
We need to deal in reality here. In terms of countries such as Brazil, India and Egypt, can I just say at the outset, like unquestionably in my assessment, they are all three safe countries. They are countries with vibrant political democracies. We see elections there. They have courts there. They have safe systems. Like the system of international protection cannot be built down to sort of a granular application of one individual who is an application which may be different from others that have been brought. Like the whole benefit of a safe country of origin system is so that the International Protection Office will know we've got an application which has come in from Brazil. It's a group in Brazil who claim to be persecuted. However, we've done an assessment of that previously. And as a result of that, we see that there's no need or the decision can be based on previous assessments that have been done. Like there has to be some reality introduced into this. Because what the effect of not doing this, Cormac, and the effect of the numbers increasing significantly, is that the great success we've had in Ireland in integration and immigration is being damaged. And
I understand
like,
that,
I do
but I'm
think
looking
there
here,
is a
Jim,
benefit. There I'm is looking, a benefit in trying to designate more countries
I'm
as safe.
I'm looking here. You say it's okay to designate Brazil as safe, but I'm looking at a report from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, and they say in a 2021 report that despite the existence of the rule of law, a democratic system and a human rights institutions, Brazil faces structural challenges in overcoming issues relating to forms of discrimination that have been neglected historically, which is particularly affecting groups such as people of African descent, women, Quilombola communities, indigenous peoples, and so on. So if you're from those groups, you may be affected.
Cormac, every country in the world, including Ireland, you can get a human rights report in respect of to say that there are deficiencies in the system for protection of particular groups. You could say that about certain groups in Ireland as well. So listen, we need a broader assessment of what is permissible and how we need to respond to the very significantly increasing number of applications for international protection. Like this year already, as I said, there have been over 10,000 applications received. We're certainly going to hit 20,000 applications this year. So like the government needs to take some measures to try to reduce the numbers coming in. Obviously, we need to provide more accommodation for the people who are applying for accommodation. We're doing that with 31,000 units being provided at present. But at some stage, we need to say, are there measures we can take to try to reduce the numbers coming in? And this is the only available tool, in my opinion, that we have.
Can I just respond to two points there? The first is this calling for a reality check and a kind of a suggestion that we can't have individualized decisions. Like the international protection procedure is one based on individualized status determination. And there's good reasons for that. And it's in fact a matter of EU law that it's the case. So we don't deal in generalizations generally. So to suggest that that's not, you know, in tune with reality is itself not in tune with reality. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there's very little EU consensus on safe countries of origin. There is no common EU list. There's huge variations between different EU member states as to what they put on their safe country of origin list. For example, Ireland, when it placed South Africa on the list, which is very contentious, there was only one other EU member state to do so. So I'm not convinced that we can place, you know, all our faith in the minister's assessment of whether a country is safe or not.
Okay, you disagree on that one. Jim O'Callaghan of Fianna Fáil, Dr. Kira Smith of the University of Galway. Thank you both very much indeed.